Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah. Woo! Let's go!
Y'all need to sit back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride. And we ride and I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, safe evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Welcome to the Sports City Chefs Brunch. We got this thing popping off on an all-star weekend. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes here at Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs, man. I'm feeling some type of way. An interesting Saturday that spilled into this Sunday. And like I said, it's all-star weekend, and it's unfamiliar territory for me because I've never really thought I'd see the day of everything being jam-packed into the all-star weekend. So I'm wondering how this thing is going to pan out. But we'll get into that as much as we can as the show processes. Calling in by way of the state of Connecticut, he's the villain that you know around this building. Barry J., welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Villain. When I used to watch G.I. Joe, I used to root for Cobra. Used to watch Scarface and root for Sosa. What up, TP? I'm in the house, in the building on this beautiful Sunday, chilly Sunday up here in Connecticut. But we doing big things. How you, brother?
Yeah, man. Everybody else said it's getting warm where they are, and it's looking like that warmth is trying to come out here. I'm actually holding off and hoping the winter stays around as much as possible because me, in the springtime, suffer from allergies, and that pollen starts flying around here like crazy. I don't like when my car gets that Mountain Dew yellow green on it. It's like I know I can't touch anything because I know I'll start sneezing, sniffly, snuffly, runny nose. So it's like winter don't go. Like as much as I want to see you go, it's like don't go. Like just please stick around or rain a couple times, you know. But it is what it is, man. So like I said, interesting day. I wanted to get into a lot of you know, the stuff that went down actually as of yesterday and Barry, where everything's okay. Just to let you know, everything's okay right now. You're good to go. I'll let you know if you start transforming. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to turn into Cobra out here, G.I. Joe. You know what I'm saying? So I got you. Don't worry. Okay. Day, and I wanted to get a couple of these things out of the way before we get going. I know you probably aren't into this. In the UFC bout, the main event, the light heavyweight bout between Jan Blachowicz and Israel Adesanya, a.k.a. the style bender, Jan Blachowicz retains his belt and wins in the decision, knocking off Adesanya for his first loss of his career, and with him moving up. Now, it makes it interesting because he never lost, but he's outside of his weight class, and he fought Blachowicz underweight. Like, he didn't make the weight for light heavyweight. He had, like, more pounds to gain. He's like, he wasn't going to bulk up to try to fight him, in which I don't even want to use that as any excuse for Israel. Israel lost that fight and got beat up bad, especially in the fourth and fifth rounds where Jan was actually able to take him down and ground and pound him as best as he could. So I do want to tip my hat to Jan Blachowicz because I've actually been watching him and give him a ton of credit on what he's able to do in the octagon. And ever since he fought Luke Rockhold and knocking him out. I've been watching him every fight. I did not – and it sucks because it's like you watch these two fighters go at it, and it's like you don't want to see one of them lose, you know, because it's like you like both of them. And somebody has to go down. And unfortunately, nobody got knocked out. So it's like it's good I didn't see one of the guys that I respect in this sport get knocked out. And Israel took a beating. Israel caught up and gained ground in the third round. The second round, I think he gained more ground too. But, like, in the third round, he really turned it up as much as possible. As soon as the fourth round came around, Jan was not playing with him and beating him to smithereens. And then the fifth round, it looked like, you know, Adesanya was so gassed. So shout-out to both of them. I do respect both of them like crazy. And that was one of those fights that I had to tune into. The other fight is, and I know a lot of people do not I don't want to say people don't care because they do watch it, but I think it was more of a storm round when Ronda Rousey was fighting. But this lady or woman, however I need to say it, Amanda Nunes, she submits Megan Anderson with an armbar. You have to see it. The way she did her armbar, she, you know, basically wrapped her legs around, you know, underneath her arm and around her neck and just, like, pulled and was, could either broke her arm or choked her out, but it was more or less she was going for the break, and Megan tapped out. And the crazy part about it is Megan has been taking care of business in the sport in her own right, but Amanda Nunes owns women's UFC. I don't think there's going to be any woman that takes care of her, whether knockout, submits her, or wins by decision. She's going to end up having any belt that she's close to, like within her weight range, and she has two belts right now. She's the queen of two different weight classes. The way to see, she's a, you know, a striker. She can wrestle. She can throw her hands. She can do it all. Like, she's not one-dimensional. She even beat the girl that I thought that would beat her, and she knocked her out being Cyborg. And I can't say enough about Amanda Nunes in this sport. I'm just wondering when she's, you know, nobody could beat her. So I'm wondering how long this lasts, if it lasts for, like, 3 or 4 years, and then she just retires, or 5 years, but I don't think there's going to be any woman that could beat her. She is tough as nails, and what she does in the game is great, I guess, for, you know, women's UFC or women's MMA. Unless some bigger name, I don't know if Holly Holm wants to smoke or jump out of the line again, or if Ronda Rousey feel like she's tough because she went to WWE and tried to bounce back, that'll be another thing in itself, but I don't see anybody stopping her. From those two, you know, title fights, how do you feel, or if you do feel a certain way about either the Błachowicz fight up against Adesanya or Nunes up against Anderson, let me know your thoughts.
I mean, I didn't watch the fights. I heard about it. I mean, I don't see Rousey coming back. You know, she had her stint in WWE. It's tough to be in the WWE full-time. Their schedule is, there's no off-season, all that good stuff, so it's tough to get that going, but, I mean, if that's where the money – that's probably where the gate is for her, Rousey, so I don't see Nunes coming back. I think everybody just kind of automatically assumes because Nunes is, you know, dominated her fight against Anderson, right? Yep, last night? Megan Anderson. So, I mean, you know, that's the next name that everybody wants to start talking about because, like you said, Cyborg, you know, I thought she was going to be the bad one after she knocked out Rousey a couple years back or something like that, or just thoroughly handed her a bad loss. So, you know, now I agree. There's nobody out there that can probably stop her. So, you know, that's interesting. And then I didn't see the first fight you mentioned. Didn't really hear much about it. I saw that it was going on and everything, but I just didn't really watch. And, I saw news that, you know, a couple UFC fighters got released. So, I mean, that's, you know, to the extent that I really kind of followed that fight. But I mean, yeah, interesting point on Rousey. I don't think she'll come back. And I don't see any reason why she should, just like Gina Carano didn't come back. They don't really need to at this point.
Right, because they have, you know, multiple things going on in their lives. I'm kind of being funny about Ronda Rousey because her last fight that she had was against Amanda Nunes, and the way that she got knocked out, it was like I don't see her coming back from this, and it's like a lot of the ladies that fight her within the, you know, the MMA, UFC – they're just going to just stand and fight with her. Don't let her grab you, because that's what Amanda Nunes was doing. Like, do not grab me. I'd rather just strike and do what I can, or throw blows. And he was tearing Ronda up so bad. It was like Ronda could barely look at the ref and trying to fight again. It was like, man, that was brutal, especially with, you know, the way that the country and the world were following behind Ronda Rousey, because she's a beautiful woman, you know what I'm saying? And she was arm-barring, submitting so many different people. And it was like, who's going to stop her? And Amanda Nunes, not only did she stop her, she shushed her, and then she made sure she shushed the crowd and did that, the finger to her lips to let everybody know, be quiet. And awesome stuff from her, and I don't see nobody stopping her. Like you said, the Cyborg situation, when they fought, it was like they just went toe-to-toe for the first couple of seconds, and Amanda threw one right on the chin. And once Cyborg knees buckled, I'm like, whoa. Like, that looked like almost the movie Friday when you see Craig getting the best of Debo. It's like, oh, really? Like, so he caught her, and they got to the fence and started throwing some more blows, and she dropped her again. I'm like, oh, goodness. Like, telling you, like I don't know anybody that's going to stop her. There was another fight, too, in the UFC, and it was a disqualification as Jan, he illegally kneed Sterling in the face while he was on the ground trying to get up, and it was a championship bout. And the way that Sterling won this thing after Jan actually made a statement saying that, you know, it's all on me, and it's a championship fight. It's a belt on the line. I got to be better, and I feel him. But it's like, what, you know, he has to know that rule. Of course, it's a known rule, and he knows that you can't knee people while they're trying to get up. But it's the heat of the moment in the UFC. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to do everything that you got advantage in, and it cost him the fight and the championship belt. And that was one that, you know, you feel sorry for a guy, especially when he's winning. If he's winning at that point in time and does something critical to lose the fight, and it was not like he got hit, choked out, or, you know, got tired or gassed or knocked out. You know, he did all that he could to try to win the fight. So that was another one to get out the way quickly.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll just pine in on that, and then we can switch gears, brother. I mean, you know, listen, I agree with you. UFC is so – it's such a mix of technical and then striking and all that kind of stuff. Like, I've seen guys get a punch, and then immediate when they get taken down, like, they immediately can turn you and you know, turn the shift of the fight by getting you in a submission or some kind of move or some kind of hold or something. So it's like, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like, in the heat of the moment, you have to, you know, you can't relax and let them, like in boxing, when you knock them down, go to your corner and back up. Like, you got to, you know, when they go down, you got to get on them, because they, you give them a second, they can turn on you and turn the fight. So, yeah, I get that. But, yeah, I agree. It's unfortunate that that it turned that way and it cost him his belt. So hopefully he can bounce back and get the belt back.
Right. And you know, that turns into that revenge situation and how they could get there. That's the one thing. And if the fighter that wins because of the qualification, if he accepts the fight or he goes and takes a different fight, and then if he takes a different fight, it just makes that other fighter matter and try to win his next two or three fights. So he could be like, I want my rematch, so on and so forth. So this is a tough scenario. Hopefully they can set up the rematch as soon as possible and actually go from there. Okay.
Right.
So
right.
I'm, like you said, I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to go into the scores of college basketball, at least the top 25. And Barry team got the best of me again. I'm so mad at how this went down. And
yeah, we got to talk about that real quick. We got to talk about that real quick.
I'll let you get it in. Talk about the game.
Oh, yeah, no, listen, UConn looked good. UConn looked good, brother. And, you know, it frustrated me, though, with Georgetown, because, like, Alan was texting me, looks like we're going to get TP's boys again. And I was just, I didn't want to go, but I was like, you know, I feel bad for Patrick, because it's like the kid, they just, Georgetown can shoot the three, and they could do a lot of good things in spurts, but they don't play defense enough, and they don't rebound enough. Like, and then they turn the ball over a lot. It was just like everything culminated. It was just like once Book Night got going early and UConn was running, that was it. They just ran him out of the gym before the game got started. That's what you got to do against a team that you should beat. So, you know, big ups to UConn and the boys looking good. But, you know, I think, like, listen, we talk about Georgetown a lot, but I think it really is going to get to the point. It's just, you got to give Patrick the kind of kids he needs to play, you know, run his system. And I don't think these kids are, you know, they can run his kind of style of offense. I don't think he's a bad coach at all. I just think, you know, give him a shot. Give him that, you know, time to really build the program and get the kids that he needs. So that's what I had to say about that. But UConn, you know, marching on, into, you know, getting hot at the right time. Book Knight is back. Like you said yesterday, Hurley got his extension. UConn's starting to look like that third best team in the Big East, like I always thought. I think they're probably an 8 seed. I think they can, if a good tournament run, they can probably get to a 7. And that's a long stretch from when I thought maybe they were a 10, 11 seed. So, you know, I said last week they were a strong 9. I think they're a strong 8 now, and I think they could probably move to a 7, a weak 7, somewhere out west or something like that. So we'll see. But, you know, getting hot at the right time, a lot of teams that we saw yesterday getting hot at the right time.
You don't watch them every game. I watch them every game.
No, what do you think?
I want to try. It is Patrick Ewing. This is his recruit that he's pulled. This is nobody else responsible for the people that are on that bench or the starting five. This is what he asked for. This is what he has. And you could just hear him in the game just shout things. He's not even setting plays up. Pass the ball. Move the ball. Like that's it. There's no game plan. There's no structure to what he's doing. Like, he's getting out-coached heavily, especially for him to be an NBA player going up against a guy in Danny Hurley who – wasn't a Division I basketball player in his own right, both him and his brother Bobby, and his father's known well in the New Jersey area. But, Patrick, you were claiming for an NBA job. If you were to have an NBA job, this would probably be the outlook of what was going on in the NBA. It may be simple to you, but you're in Georgetown trying to hold up a legacy, let alone you're trying to bring Dikembe Mutombo's son in there, and who's a quality big. And he may end up sputtering because of your leadership. I'm looking at you, and you're getting out-coached by a guy that's beating you up by 20-some-odd points. We have not beaten Villanova in almost like 6 to 8 years right now. And this is outside of just Patrick. But what Patrick should be able to turn the leap or get the recruits in or have some type of game plan that he saw in New York, none of that is happening while he's on the sideline for Georgetown. I'm not giving him that easy leg up to be like, oh, let him get his guys and – wait another, what, 2-3 years right now, because I think next year would be his fourth or fifth season. It's like, no, like this has to turn around now. You have NBA caliber. You are a dream team member, and you were begging and pleading for a coaching job, and the entire NBA let you go off the greener pastures and get you to go to Georgetown because they owe you something for bringing the lone championship there. So it's like, okay, the Thompson family couldn't get it done. We're going to get you here because you're the extension of the Thompson family that everybody loves here, and nothing has turned around since he's gotten there. Matter of fact, Mac McClung left. You had Okenjo leave. You had LeBlanc leave. Like, so many of these kids left the university because I really feel like Patrick didn't have that right leadership. And to go into UConn and get smashed like this, when does it turn around? Do you think next season all of a sudden Georgetown's going to be good? These guys are at the bottom of the Big East. This has never happened under anybody's watch, including Craig Escherich. And when Craig Escherich was there with Michael Sweeney, I've never seen a coach have this bad of an output with a team. As a matter of fact, we were competitive while he had, you know, Kevin Broswell and Sweeney and them. We're not even competitive. Like, it looks good when they win it. They won that 3 or 4-game streak, like, about a week or two ago. But it's like, what else are you going to do? You're going to go into that Big East tournament where that's your home in Madison Square Garden and do a one-and-done. Like, hi, and we're leaving now. Like what? Like, what? I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that at all. Georgetown is horrible until they get rid of him. Jamarco Pickett is one of our best players, and he looks skittish going into an NBA, and I doubt if he get a job. He might be on the outside looking in, but he has a bunch of tools that wasn't even used right. He's a 6'8 guy, got the frame of a Kevin Durant, could step out and shoot, could attack the rim, could dribble, control the ball, and he looks lost in the system. Like, there's no excuse for Patrick Ewing. Patrick has to get it together. There's no way that you can sit up here and be out-coached when you've been sitting on NBA sidelines for years. Houston, Charlotte, I mean, the list goes on and on. Man, you're this bad. None of you guys believe in you unless they're wide open to take a shot because the defense collapsed and they shoot a three here and there. Like, no way. No way. Your bigs don't even have ball control or footwork. None of them. None of them. They're just 6'11 or 7 feet, just want to turn around and dunk. Like, there's more to the game. You had more to the game. You should be teaching them what you know, man. None of them have a fadeaway like Pat. None of them working on that. None of it. But got quality bigs. Like, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that one bit. Listen, I don't like to see people jobless. That is one thing that I do not like. Patrick Ewing has to go. Has to.
Ugh.
I'm sorry.
I can't buy that. I really can't buy that. But I mean, listen, you watch him more than I do, so you see the little thing. I see him a couple of times a year. From what I've seen, I haven't been overly impressed. But I'm not going to down them as much. But I mean, that's your guys. But listen, I got a soft spot for Pat. I want to see him succeed. I think he can coach. I think he could have got a job before, and I think he was probably passed over, maybe for good reason. Who knows? But listen, I'll let you, have the final say on that. I can't really give my opinion, but give it from the perspective that you have. So, I guess so. But listen, I didn't think they were going to beat. You didn't really think Georgetown was going to beat UConn. Like,
The last matchup they had was a close game. Like, it wasn't like
yeah,
they
it
got
was
beat
it was
back.
A close game. It was
this game
it
right
was.
Here looked
it,
like
it,
this game right here looked like and there's no crowd, so you can't say home court advantage because there's no storm of UConn mm-hmm. Husky fans all up in Gamble going crazy. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to use that. What? Because you in Connecticut is different. Like, I live out here. We ball. We do what we do. But come on. You can't come up with no good game. There's no game plan to, like, have it close like that last game. You know, it was the beginning of the second half, and they were down, like, 24. It's like, wait, what? Like, what? Like, and you still yelling at them like they got the fire. You know that team has given up on him. They will not say it, but they've given up on him. Matter of fact, even Mac McClung won't even entertain the conversation about Patrick Ewing. The only thing that he said is, I thought that I would have a good time to be around a Dream Team member, and stops the conversation. Mac won't even talk about Patrick in a good light. Like, so just think, if Mac, and he's a humble guy, if you hear Mac McClung talk, it's not like he's a trash talker. It was like he buttoned his lip, and that's all I'm going to say about Patrick Ewing, the type of conversation that he's having. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, mm-hmm. if he's saying that, and he can change face to go in Texas Tech, while Texas Tech lost all of their players going to the NBA, and they struggled, and he's able to make an input on that team to actually have them NCAA tournament ready. Patrick, what's going on? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. This guy was one of the best All-Americans coming out of college. Him and Zion the same year, and he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here! I'm not buying it. I don't care. And I get it. You're a Knicks fan, so you grew up watching Pat run the Garden and everything. You probably had a pair of Ewings or got Ewing jersey, like so on so forth. You know, like I get it. You're attached to him, and I mm-hmm. He wore a Georgetown jersey. So I'm like, I'm hoping that he have that turnaround. There's no tactical skill that he has that he's bringing to Georgetown to help this team turn around. I do not see Georgetown being at nowhere near top 25 relevant next season. I'm talking about outside of this season. Like, there's no. And now Georgetown, and him for him being a big, he's a big, right? They're guard heavy.
Yeah.
Georgetown got nothing but guards. There's a whole bunch of guards, and they're like two or three bigs.
It's a different league. It's a different type of basketball now. You don't really have a lot of bigs like that, especially in the NBA.
Right.
So
how does he turn these guards around? How do these guards build off of him if he's not a guy that's in the backcourt? Like, if you're gonna play inside out basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to play inside-out basketball, I don't know how it's going to go down. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to change different? What do you know?
I think
that
you
got to
bring
know?
Somebody in there that can coach these guards and really help, you know, help them, you know, kind of play. It's turnovers. Like, they make a lot of turnovers. They don't take care of the basketball. So you got to bring in somebody that can help them take care of the basketball. So – yeah, of course, I told you, I got a soft spot for Pat, but I think, you know, I honestly think he can succeed. I think he can make it work. You know, I mean, I hope he doesn't because, you know, they're my rival, but, I mean, I'll be, you know, actual factual. I don't want to see the dogs back barking at our heels. So, but, no, you know, I think for college basketball, you know, those are one of those teams that you want to see come back, like Georgetown, St. John's.
and company. So, I mean, you know, if Rutgers can do it after 30 years and pretty much stamping their way into the tournament, I think Georgetown can do it. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
You ready for this? I'm going to ice the cake on this, and I'm going to get into the scores.
Okay.
Back-to-back losing seasons. He's under 500. In which last season, Mac McClung hurt his foot, I want to say in the middle of January. Mac McClung didn't have a bad sprain or a broken bone. It was just an injury. Mac McClung chose to sit out for the remainder of the season, including the NIT, with the same walking boot, and was fine after the season's end, and left immediately. And left immediately. This guy has losing ways. There's no way that this is acceptable. What is he going to do? Bounce back? Look, bounce back next season and go 24-4? Is that the Georgetown that we're seeing next year? They don't. No way, no how. If he does that, then they're going to give him a bowl and a box or whatever he wants inside of it. Like I don't see that happening. Like, gather your things and go back to the NBA. You just made Georgetown worse than what they were before John Thompson III just left. Incredible.
Ouch. Okay. I mean, listen, you know, UConn, you know, was in the same boat. We hadn't been in a tournament in 5 years, and, you know, it was a slow build with Danny Hurley. I think, you know, once Kevin Ali got released from his contract, Danny Hurley came in, and he didn't win right away, but, you know, he started to build it up. So, I know he's been around a little longer than Danny at Georgetown, but, you know, I'm hoping for patience, and I hope it works out. But look, we can get into the scores, man. I know there was a lot of good games yesterday. I caught a couple, so definitely want to get into that.
Yeah, shout out to Kevin Ali. He came to Sports City and did an interview here, so I know he knows us. So shout out to Kevin Ali. But I'm not. Gabby, Patrick, get your boxes together. Go back to the league and work on the bigs down there. I'm sorry, not Georgetown. And you have the nerve. You have the nerve to talk about tournament this, that, and the third 5 years. Since Patrick Ewing has been on the Georgetown sideline, he has not gotten to the big dance since. And Georgetown was getting to the big dance with John Thompson III. Patrick has been here and has not gotten that team into a tournament bid yet. Yet. And sit here where we're going to keep going to the NIT, what, because the finals is in the garden? You like going back home? Get your boy, please. Gather your things. Gather your things and get back to the NBA. I'm not buying that. You won't get a head coaching job in the NBA. You probably will not get another one after this Georgetown stint that you're on right here. Top 25 college basketball outside of the Georgetown loss. Illinois beats Ohio State on the road. And Illinois is beating everybody in their arena. Forget just winning at home. They are beating people in the top 10 in the Big Ten. And this is where I'm saying, like, these teams are questionable right now with Michigan, Ohio State. These guys are losing at their crib when it all counts. In the month of March, Illinois wins this game 73-68, winning by five in Columbus, Ohio, in a losing effort. Justice Suing put up 15 points and 8 rebounds. Andre Curbelo had a 19.5 rebound, 6 assist effort. They're doing just fine. Illinois is putting this thing together correctly at the right time at the end of the season, heading into the month of March. I feel like they might be the forefront leader in the Big Ten Championship. That's right. I'm saying Illinois. And it's been
wow.
Yeah, what do you mean wow? What do you mean wow? Do you feel somebody else should be there?
I think Michigan's the cream of the crop. Even though that loss, I get it. I still think Michigan's. I was impressed with their win against Michigan State. Doing what you're supposed to do and beating them down, like coming off of a tough loss to them. So. To Illinois. So, listen, I get what you're going to say. You know, Illinois beat them head-to-head, but I still think Michigan is the best team out there. But I would love to see those two teams go at it again. And I think I agree with you 100%. Illinois is a one seed. They are going to be a one seed. I think they probably depending on if they beat Michigan again, either in their own bracket or have to go out, you know, not even go out west, probably south or something like that, because Gonzaga will take the West. But they're definitely a one seed to me.
Oh, really? You said, oh, because they beat Michigan? Did they beat Michigan or did they whoop Michigan? They whoop Michigan. You can say what you want. They lost by 23 in Ann Arbor, period. And they were without the All-American Naismith Watch player, A.O. DeSumo, was out. And they beat them by doggone near 30 points. I am not buying that. I mean, yeah, Michigan's talented. Of course, they got Hunter Dickinson in the middle of the paint, a seven-footer that nobody could really guard. But they did all that they could to shut him down and that team and holding them to 53 points. I can't even think of the last time Michigan has been held under 60 like that in any team outside of Juwan Howard. Like, they came in there and shut them down, and then the next time they meet will probably be in this Big Ten Championship, in which I think you better hope it's in Indiana, because more than likely this will be taking place in Chicago. They'd be at home in Illinois. I think it gets worse. I think it gets worse for Michigan if Michigan can't figure these guys out right now. Like, Michigan has been good this year. I'm not going to take anything away from the effort that Juwan Howard has been able to do for this team and the team coming together as a cohesive and doing what they can. But it looks like fool gold the way that Illinois took care of business up against them. And like Deshaun said, on the campus tailgate, Michigan State will split. So I think Michigan won the first game Friday. They play Friday. I think they play again today, if I'm not mistaken.
Today.
So they play today. So this will be the game that Michigan State should win, unless Deshaun is wrong. You know what I'm saying? But if Michigan State beats Michigan outside of losing that bad to Illinois, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it not one bit. So like I said, right now, as it looks, Illinois is the best in that conference right now. And if AO fits right back in and they're playing as strong as they were when he was there, yeah, right. Impress me, Michigan. The next matchup I have is Oklahoma State winning their matchup up against West Virginia, in which Kate Cunningham was nursing an injury and was not really there for them. And then for them to go up into Morganton and take care of West Virginia 85-80 and scoring 51 points in the second half, they were going crazy. Oklahoma State, Avery Anderson III had a 31-point night, 6 rebounds and 1 steal. And Taz Sherman for West Virginia had 20 points, 1 rebound and 1 assist in a losing effort. Oklahoma State is making their statement to not only get back into the dance or the thing, scheme of things, but they're supposed to be one of the respected teams in the Big 12. Because if I look at it, they're 11-7 in conference play. They basically are unbeatable outside of the conference. They're 7-0 outside of the Big 12. So if they get into the tournament, they can be dangerous. The next team that I have, I seen this from afar, man. I've been watching them and and I seen them while I was in Vegas, too, watching this team, like, all week long. And Alabama winning their game in Georgia, 89-79, up against the Bulldogs. I respect Alabama. And it's sickening to me that I got to keep saying Alabama from college football to college basketball, that this school is actually doing what they can. The one thing that Deshaun hits on is like, oh, you live by the three, you're going to die by the three. Well, they ain't died by that three yet. They're doing the best that they can. They're 16-2 in SEC play. I think they did the killmonger to, T'Challa being Kentucky, and he did killmonger. He's like, nah, I'm y'all king, and get out of here. Like, and that's exactly what Alabama looks like right now, mowing down all of the competition, 8th ranked in the nation. Quinterly and Petty, these guys are something else. Quinterly had an 18-point night. Wheeler had 18 points as well in a losing effort, but Alabama's doing this like under the radar. And people that are not paying attention to SEC basketball or talking about Alabama, you got another thing coming if you have not seen them play yet.
I agree. Listen, I agree. Real quick, I just want to get a quick spoonful. Like, everybody was talking about Georgia being a dangerous tournament team, and you know they were up at the halftime, but Alabama, man, they came on strong in that second half. That's a good basketball team, solid two right there. They're gonna give whoever their one seed is or whatever seed bracket they're in. They're gonna be hard to say that they won't get through that bracket. They're a good basketball team.
I'm trying to tell them. I'm tired of saying it every week, and they keep on winning. They took their lumps early. Now they that's a machine right now. They got people that sit in there and get their rebounds. They got bigs that can run the floor and can hit a mid-range jumper and play the block. Like, and there's guys that are on the perimeter. You better get close up on them. They all can shoot, and they're all willing to like pass the ball. They're playing team basketball. Alabama is dangerous. Dangerous. The next matchup I have, Big East basketball, baby. Nothing better than Big East basketball. Providence wins their matchup up against Villanova. Now, mind you, Villanova is without Gillespie for the remainder of the season with a ligament tear. 54-52, right? Listen to this. 54-52 at the half. Providence was up 17. Villanova stormed back to cut this thing to lose by two. Shout out to Jay Wright. Jay Wright, I wish I could drag you out of Philadelphia and bring you to D.C. right now. Like, let's trade right now. Patrick, Jay Wright, immediately. We need to do that right now. Like, and it hurts me to, like, admit this, like, because I'm a Big East guy. Jay Wright is the best coach in the Big East. He is the best coach in the Big East. I can't think of any coach that contends with him. But, like, and me looking at Patrick, it's like, dude, you're an NBA guy, like, and you can't even coach to this guy's caliber, like, and you got to see the way he like shake Patrick's hands at the end of the game. It's like, yeah, I know, I got you, good job, like, and he's so smooth. He like that smooth Italian that he can spin your head, take you out to eat everywhere. I mean, he looked like that type, and he just, you know, he does his thing. But unfortunate situation, he's down without one of his biggest names on that roster. Fought back to get into this game and lost this game to Providence and Ed Cooley. They get past this game and win this one by two. Another interesting one, and this is a game that we talked about yesterday on the college camp, is our tailgate. Florida State lose their game up against Notre Dame, right?
God.
Right here, right? Leonard Hamilton, I'm not going to lie. As you know, I'm an African-American male, so I like to see African-American coaches how to succeed. And every single year you do well, like above average, so I'll give you that. But every single time you step out of the city of Tallahassee, I wanted to say the state of Florida, but that's just too big. Like, once you get out of the city of Tallahassee, everything goes out the window. You guys are vulnerable. You getting figured out by Notre Dame, who is at this point in time, they were 9-14. They were 6-11 in ACC play. There is no choice in you to lose this game. And you being an 11th seeded team in the nation and lose by 10. By 10. That's close to a blowout, but they handedly beat you. And I give my respects to Mike Bray. Mike Bray is a good coach out of Notre Dame, been running the show for quite some time. One of those gaudy coaches that you got to coach up the coach. And Leonard Hamilton, you just watch this always fall apart. There was a game earlier this year, they lost to Clemson. It was like, you know, they had the edge on Clemson, but now that they're in South Carolina, they look vulnerable and get beat. Like, I don't believe in Florida State. They are fool's gold. If the committee looks at this correctly, I think they're in the 20s at the end of the day. I think they fall as far as 20 in the nation. Like, I'm not contending with, oh, they fall to 15 just to give them four slots. Like, no, this is a bad loss approaching the ACC tournament, and you're supposed to be the conference. You're atop the conference. I don't see anybody really threatening you other than Virginia. Like, it's you and Virginia at the top of the conference. But this type of loss right here, I'm not buying it. This is bad. This is a bad loss. We were talking about it on the show. And Chris was like, yo, I don't think Notre Dame going to beat them, man. Notre Dame not playing good. They got a bad record. I'm like, I know, but and I'm up here saying this. I'm actually talking it into existence. I'm like, but there could be shock value because Mike Bray's a good coach. And what happens? Time has come through in the clutch. Mike Bray comes out and wins this game at home. 83-73, unfortunate situation. And listen,
we said it last week. We said it last week, TP. Like, Florida State can't be trusted. They just cannot be trusted. They had a chance to lock up that regular season title and because, of Virginia Tech, and they still couldn't get it done against a team that they should have beat. They were never in this basketball game. Never in this basketball game. I know it's on the road, but just like you said, there's barely anybody on the road. I mean, come on, give me a break. That's a bad loss. This is a team that can't be trusted. They're a 5 seed at best right now. I agree with you. They should be in the back half of the 20s, if anything. You're right. They can't handle Virginia. I don't think they can handle Virginia Tech right now, the way they're playing. Like, this was a terrible loss. I'm serious. This was a terrible loss. I know it was on the road, but there was no excuse for this. You were a better team. You should have handled them. They can't be trusted around tournament time. They're going to be an easy out in the tournament again. Watch.
Just like Barry said, they had no control over this game at all. To even make this even more respectable for Florida State, they almost gave up 50 points in a 20-minute half in the first half, and they were down 16, 47-31 entering the locker room and end up winning the second half by 6, and they still lost by 10. This could have been worse than what we've seen, especially with Notre Dame probably pulling their foot off the gas to, like, let this be a respectable loss. They could have been blown out the doors, and you being 11th ranked in the ACC, where everybody looks at the ACC as being the powerhouse conference in the United States, I am not buying it. Leonard Hamilton, you got work to do. I want you to prove me wrong. I don't think you're making the Sweet 16. Prove me wrong. You prove me wrong. Either. If you feel like you guys can make the Sweet 16, I'll apologize. I will apologize right here.
There is no way this team is making the Sweet 16. They are losing day two. Mark it down. I don't care who they play. I don't care where they play. They are losing the second day. Mark it down.
I'm trying, man. You believe me? I'm marking it down now. I want to see how it all pans out with the committee and the bracketology and stuff like that. I want to see Florida State's path to get to Sweet 16. I want to see it. The next matchup I have is in the SEC, and this is a team that came out of nowhere, and Arkansas has been playing great ball, winning this game up against Texas A&M 87-80. See, this is what I'm talking about. You beat a team that you're supposed to beat. And Texas A&M is not playing good ball this year. They win this game 87-80 in a winning effort. Moses Moody goes off for 28 points and 5 rebounds. That's a good day up against Emmanuel Miller in a losing effort at 23 points and 10 rebounds. Arkansas, I feel like, is a team that could cause damage in the tournament and definitely could, bring some problems in the SEC. I think this is one of the teams that can contend with Alabama because everything fell apart for, the usual suspect. But let me keep on going. The next matchup I have is Creighton winning their matchup 93-73 up against the Butler Bulldogs. Marcus Zagorowski in an extreme point guard. Like, I hope he gets to the league, man. I think he might be too short, but I think he might be fine. I could be wrong. 32 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 steal. Going up against Chuck Harris in a losing effort. Chuck Harris had a 29 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. And these guys are going back and forth, but for Creighton to respond in this manner while everything is going on with Coach McDermott, applaud y'all, man. I applaud y'all, man. I thought that y'all would fall apart because this is a heavy distraction. And, me being a minority as well as, like, how many minorities are on this squad that may have taken it personally. And some have actually spoken out as of yesterday in the evening saying that what he said hurt them. So it's like, how many of them did really take this personal, and they bounced back and beat Butler by 20? And I know Butler's not playing the best of ball this season, but Butler, every game in the Big East is going to be an interesting matchup. It's going to be an interesting matchup. And for them to win this game by 20, while there's a distraction, while every reporter, USA Today or, ESPN, everybody's in their face wondering, trying to be there supporting these kids. So shout out to Creighton for them to pull it off. And Marcus Zagorowski, excellent game, man. I like it. I wonder how Creighton bounces back from here. Loyola Chicago wins their matchup up against Indiana State 65-49 in a winning effort. Cameron Krutwig goes off for 18 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists. Jake LaRavia goes for 13.7 rebounds and an assist in a losing effort for the Sycamores. The next matchup I have, and this was a game that I was watching closely, Virginia wins their matchup on the road up against Louisville 68-58, winning this in a 10-point difference. In a winning effort, Sam Hauser, the former Marquette player, goes off for 24-8, and Samuel Williamson has a 9.10 rebound effort and a losing cause for the Louisville Cardinals. Moving right back to the Big Ten, Purdue wins their matchup up against Indiana 67-58. Zach Edey, the 7'5", 7'4" center, you got to see how big this guy is. This guy is huge. 20.9 rebounds and 1 assist, and I think this actually slowed up Trace Jackson Davis, and that, Dale Davis's son. He wasn't the lead stat getter Rob Fenisi goes off for 10.6 rebounds, 4 assists. They closed the door on Indiana, and I guess they own the state right now, winning that game up against the Hoosiers. And, the Hoosiers actually started the season out well. They are under 500 right now. They are under 500, and this is something that we talked about. Archie Miller's job may be in jeopardy. So hopefully he can put a string of wins together, cause some damage within the Big Ten championship. But if he doesn't, I think they'll be looking into it and seeing what they could do with another coach. No coach has really standed long in Indiana since Bob Knight. I can't really think of it, whether we're talking Mike Davis, if we're talking Preen, all of the guys that have been there, like they've not standed long in Indiana. I wonder when they see some consistency at the coaching position. And I think that's that on the top 25. Kentucky did win their matchup in the SEC up against South Carolina, winning 92-64. Oh, now you guys want to play ball? You're 9-15 and 8-9 in SEC play? Get out of here. Get out of here. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm not sold. Rutgers wins their game up against Minnesota 77-70. Clemson 77-62 over Pittsburgh. Auburn wins their game 78-71 over against Mississippi State. This is just to give a few before we get up out of the, you know, some of the scores. Any other games that you would like to talk about before we do get away from it, or a score that I may have missed?
No, I mean, listen, like we said, Florida State, I don't trust you. Like, I don't believe you. You need more people. You know what I mean?
What?
Like, like, seriously, I can't with Florida State right now. But
I got one more.
Go ahead.
North Carolina beats Duke 91-73. Mm-hmm. Blowout.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you missed that one.
Right. I know. I'm bugging because I was just so tied up in talking about the teams that I was talking about. Does Duke get in? They were noted as the last four in. This loss right here puts them even at 500. 11 out of 11. They have 11 wins, 11 losses, 9-9 in the ACC play. Do they get in because of Coach K's name, or with this loss right now, does the committee hold them out?
They will get in because of Coach K's name. That's the only reason they will get in. I mean, unless they have a deep tournament run, ACC tournament run, or they win the thing, the only reason they will get in is because Coach K's name. There's no way that this team, you know, looking at their resume, I just don't – nothing really – 500 in a league where there's a lot of teams ahead of them. You know what I mean? They're, like, Louisville is a better team. You know, Virginia Tech, even Florida State, you know what I mean? They're better teams. I don't see it. And this was, if they had won this game, I think you could kind of make a case for them, like, just at large. But after this, like, I don't see it. I really don't see how you can say definitively that Duke is a tournament team. And they probably will get in because of Coach K, and that's it.
I feel the same way. That's the way I threw it out there. It's crazy that they lost that bad in this type of rivalry where North Carolina is bad. North Carolina isn't that good of a team. And for this to be Tobacco Road, all of them – right. For this to be Tobacco Road with the rivalry in line, for them to lose by doggone near 20, I don't know. I don't know. And I think I agree with you. I feel like the only way that they get in there is a little sympathy for Coach K, and let's get them in there. At least they're 500. Like, come on. Let's get them in there with 11 losses.
But look,
like, get out of here.
Look at the teams that are better than them. Georgia Tech, Clemson, North Carolina, Louisville, Syracuse. If you take Duke over those teams, even North Carolina State, if you take Duke over them, then you're got to say the committee just did it because it's Coach K. There's no reason. You can't come out with an argument to say that Duke is a better team other than the fact that it's just Coach K. You know what I mean? Like, and I'll let it go. I'll be like, fine, okay, Coach K, fine, good, all right. And then just go about my business. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, just say it. Just say that.
I really – they won't say that. You know they won't address that not at all. But if they do, they'll be like, all of the years that we sat here and thought that it was them earning their way through this, it was y'all at the end of the day. That's It almost feel like Scooby Doo when you pull the mask off on a bad guy and you see him. It's like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I would have got away with it.
Right. That's the committee. That's the committee.
Right.
So,
I mean, I thought after the Virginia game that they would get in, you know, a couple good wins against Virginia and Syracuse. But I mean, now you're three straight losses and just bad losses. So I can't put them in. But no, I mean, other than that, TP brother, I agree with you. Jay Wright is the best coach in I think in college basketball, not just the Big East. Like, you know, I think he's what, seven of the last eight Big East championships he's won. He's got the pedigree. He's got the rings. Like, I think he's one of the best, if not the best, college basketball coaches. I'll put him up against anybody. I don't want to get into that long discussion, but I'll put him up against anybody in college basketball. Right now, right, you know, I honestly feel that way.
He's an awesome coach, but he's not getting past Coach K, and I don't like Coach K at all. I don't even like admitting that he's the best coach in college basketball.
All time. No, I agree. Listen, all time, you know, Boeheim, the Roy Williams of the world, Coach K and company, yeah. But, I mean, like, pound for pound, right now as it stands, I would take Jay Wright over anybody. That's just me.
I want him in Georgetown. Don't get me wrong. I want him. But Coach K, man, I've seen Coach K dominate college basketball for as long as I can remember. Duke has always been there, and he had that evil snarl, and I feel like every time I'm watching him on TV, I'm giving him the evil snarl back. Like, I don't care how mad you think you're looking. Like, I'm looking mad at you, too. And it was a game when Georgetown went in the camera and indoors and stole one. I'm like, boy, you don't know how happy I was when we did that. I was going crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, we stole one. But it's like anybody that beats Duke, it's like we feel a certain way, like we all won. That's how good Coach K is. Coach K is that good. Like, when you see somebody beat Duke, you're like, yes, they beat him. And it's like, yo, I don't even like this team. Like wait, what? Like, that's how good he is. You want to see Duke fail. Like, man, and Villanova gets a pass because they're in the Big East, and like you don't really hear storms about Jay Wright or nothing, you know, like he's so modest, you know, like and he's been causing a storm in the Big East for decades with an S. Like, man, he's up there, but he ain't no Coach K. I really want to give him like Bill Self, maybe Coach Cal. I know I put him in there with Coach Cal. I'm not giving Coach Cal that much credit either. I think he's accomplished more than Coach Cal, actually, to be honest. To be honest, you got more than one championship. You got more than one. Okay, so I want to get in and out of this one quickly. In the NFL, I want to see how you feel about this one. After all of the melee that has been going on in Washington, D.C., the Washington football team now releases Alex Smith after the comeback Player of the Year award, everything that he did to get back on the field, but then his statements might have bruised the relationship. They wasted no time for them to get rid of him. How do you feel about the Alex Smith situation outside of the rift, if you will, that he's caused?
I think, you know, it was coming. You know, I don't think he comes out and says what he said if he didn't see the writing on the wall. I think he knew he wasn't coming back, and I think he was being frank and honest about how he felt he was being received or how his position – In the organization. You know, I don't think he was Rivera's guy. Obviously, Rivera didn't sign him. You know, he kind of stayed on the roster because of after the injury and all that stuff from the previous regime. So, I think it's unfortunate. I think he is a good quarterback. I think moving, if you want to move forward, they wouldn't have drafted Haskins with Smith already there. So, I think, you know, he knew he was on borrowed time to begin with. Haskins didn't work out. I don't think he's going to be a really good NFL quarterback. I mean, hopefully he proves me wrong, but that's just my gut. But yeah, I don't think Alex was a fit there. I think, you know, it obviously Washington did it because A, they didn't really think he was going to be the quarterback, and it frees up almost $15 million in cap space. Like we put out there on our Instagram page. So, I mean, it was a move for both you know, they didn't want to pay him, and he wasn't their long-term solution. They wanted to find, you know, turn the page and find somebody else. So, listen, I think there's teams that could be interested in him, maybe as a backup, maybe potentially as a starter. I think probably more as a backup, you know, at this point in his career, you know, the Bears, maybe the Niners, maybe the Jaguars. You know, so I think he can hook up somewhere and be a help and come in and maybe, you know, mentor somebody and then maybe get some starts and help them. But I don't see him as a starter, obviously, long term for anybody. So, like I said, I just think it was a move for both sides and you know, best to just move on.
So you feel like he's not done. I think this may be the end of his career. I don't know what team takes a shot at him and puts him on the bench and him being this old. Maybe the Texans with what's going on. Could he go to Houston and run the show in Houston while all of this is going on around Deshaun? Like, maybe. But other than that, I don't know what team takes a shot at him and just puts him on the bench and takes a risk on him getting injured again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I at least wanted them to see him finish career in Washington because, you know, they owed him that much, you know what I'm saying, with him going down there and it not panning out in the organization, having this funk in between the two of them. So, I don't know. Alex Smith, I do wish you well. I do want to see you out there on the field. But with you having this type of spat and other organizations are going to pick up on this, and do we really need that attention here? Because those are going to be the first questions that these reporters ask. You know what I'm saying? And these teams are going to try and make their run at the playoffs and get a championship. You know, this could be a distraction. And if people want to deal with that, that's something that they need to consider.
Absolutely. I think the Texans probably be interesting. I think he says he still has more to give. He still thinks he can play. He's going to have that conversation, obviously, with his wife, but he thinks he can still, you know, get out there and play some good football. So, to your point, it's just who will take the risk on him and who thinks that he would be the guy that, you know, would be that quarterback. And, you know, and it's not like you're bringing him for the long term. It's really a stopgap, a couple years, maybe one or two at the most. So, I don't know a lot of teams that are in that transition period. Maybe if, you know, with the quarterbacks that should be on the move, there might be one or two there. So, we'll see. But, you know, listen, it's a great story, him coming back and come back clear of the year. So I hope it doesn't finish like this, you know.
I don't want it to. You're right. You are right. I don't want it to finish like this. Okay, so let's get into round ball. The call, the number is 929-477-2759. And this is crazy, Sports City. So all of the melee for the past couple of years that Blake Griffin has caused from L.A. to Detroit, after signing with L.A. for that heck of a contract that he got, the Pistons agree to buy him out, right? Here goes the crazy part. They buy him out. Mm-hmm. He is now pointing to going to the Brooklyn Nets. Blake Griffin will end up in Brooklyn. This is going to be crazy. If this is a help or hindrance is the question that I have. If he's able to help, he's back. Lob City, him, DeAndre Jordan, Kevin Durant, Harden, and Kyrie are the starting five if this works out the right way. And now they have a bench if Jeff Green and them could come off the bench and help. But I want to see if Blake has anything left in the tank after being out for so long after this buyout. Your thoughts on Blake Griffin, the buyout, and him in Brooklyn with the rest of this crew, including his brother of Lob City, DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're a long way from Lob City, but they're pretty darn close. I think they can probably get it done. That's a pretty good starting five if he goes to Brooklyn. But, yeah, Detroit, I mean, they did the right thing, just buy him out, let him go, let him figure out where he's – you know, you couldn't really – nobody was going to trade for him, contenders. They would have to give up too much. You just weren't going to get anything back from them. So you might as well just turn the page and let them go. It's just crazy that they're paying Josh Smith still and, you know, Blake Griffin not to be on their team. Kind of crazy to me. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that were interested. Brooklyn's interested, Golden State, Miami, Portland. The Lakers should be interested as well. I don't know. I think there's good fits for him all over. I think Brooklyn is the most logical, just because Brooklyn. I think it's logical because Brooklyn needs a guy like him. They need that help in the front line, especially when they got you know traded away a lot of their depth with Allen and company. So and then when he's hurt, so it makes sense for them. If he can play a role, if he can accept a role that he's not the focal point. Listen, you're not even the fourth. You're probably the fourth option at best on this team. So just rebound, play your position, and defend. If you can do that, team. There's nobody in the East that's stopping them. And I don't think even with a healthy AD, the Lakers are stopping them. If they get Blake Griffin and they get him on the right page, I just don't see – not because, like, listen, Kevin Durant is a question mark. I think, you know, he's a little banged up and you know, I don't know how much he can come back from some of these injuries. He's starting to compensate for that Achilles with the hamstring and all that stuff. So I don't know, you know, but bringing in Griffin is insurance for that. So this is the move Brooklyn needs to make if they don't do anything else on the waiver market. That's the guy they got to bring in.
Here goes the crazy part. He's like, you don't know if this is Lob City. This is Lob City. Harden is that guy that breaks down. Listen, Harden is that guy that breaks down the defense, gets to the lane. How many times you see him throw the floater up or set somebody up for an alley-oop? Almost every time he does that. He does that almost every time. So picture is Blake and DeAndre again, and it's the three of these guys. This is disgusting, and this could save Blake. Like, this can actually save Blake Griffin, which we all thought it was over for him. This could actually be a point that could bounce his career back, and him getting to a conference final, he's never been there, or getting to an NBA final, which makes it even more interesting because it's like, is Blake against, you know, Anthony Davis if they get there, and it depends on what Anthony looks like getting back, and that's if the Lakers get to the finals, because they got to go through the Infinity War fighting Thanos and Captain America and Iron Man. Everybody, go ahead and try to get there. So, yeah, I feel like if Blake could fit into this system, if they could work this well, and I really feel like they can, because if Nash sets this up kind of like let Kyrie or Harden be Nash and let Blake be Stoudemire and come downhill or get those alley-oops, this could be very funky for Brooklyn. But they have to get this to work out in Detroit with this buyout. But I was reading something earlier, NBA Buzz, I think it was, that said that Blake is heading to Brooklyn outside of the buyout. So it's like, man, you know, bad situation turned good, you know?
Yeah, listen, it's a good situation for him. I agree. Like, after everything, the injuries and all that happened to him, you know, it would be a good look for him to get in there and get to Brooklyn. It's just like, it's kind of like, hey, if you need a ring, come, you know, if you're tired of, you know, making all the money, not getting rings, come to Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's kind of like what's going on right now, you know? So I'm happy for you. I hope it works out.
So we'll see, because it's like Philly still threatens them in the East. Like, as much as I don't respect Philly because they can't play away from Philadelphia, like if they're in South Philly, they beanie seagulls. They get outside of Philly, they turn into doggone Maxwell. Like I'm not really sold on Philly. They haven't really put no pieces together outside, you know, with this trade deadline coming around to help retool the situation, and they're still sitting up here starting Danny Green. No.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, some interesting news that just came through. I got it on ESPN. I don't know if you saw about, speaking of the Sixers with Embiid and Simmons being out of the All-Star game today with the contract tracing. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw it. I was trying to get there, but we was
okay.
Down in this. Go ahead. I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, look, you know, I guess what happened was they came in contact with a barber that, you know, had COVID. So I guess after contract tracing, they ruled him out of the All-Star game. So the two stars, I don't know what they're going to do. I doubt they're going to replace him or whatever. But maybe reshuffle these silly, you know, all-star team drafts or whatever they do. I don't know what they're going to, you know, what a draft. Give me a break. But, you know, I guess both guys were on other opposite teams. One was on Team Durant and one was on Team LeBron. So I guess it's an even split. But, yeah, they're not going to be in the All-Star game. Contact with a barber who tested positive for COVID. So that's as much as we've gotten so far on those two guys.
Look at how this jeopardizes everybody. Look at how we've been talking about all month long right here in Sports City, saying, what if a big name gets caught up in this situation going down to Atlanta and this happens? You're looking at the MVP of the league right now. You are looking at the guy that they are saying is the MVP of the league right now. He is not able to play in the All-Star game. This don't make you think at all like what's going on. Just because you rushing to get money, y'all got money. Y'all got money. There was no need for this. Now him and Ben Simmons are in trouble. Philly's the best team in the East, could end up losing ground. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. That's like, it, just because of your greed, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. Mm-hmm. Now you got them trying to figure out how they're going to have to get from Atlanta to Philly. Whether you guys put them in a limo and drive them back to Philly so they don't get on a plane and jeopardize something. Like what are y'all going to do now? What happens? Like, this is unreal.
Yeah, right.
This is something that people spoke about. Y'all not thinking about people's lives. Y'all just thinking about money. I hate to do this like this. In Sports City, forgive me. And I don't like to say the word hate. There is a song by Erykah Badu featuring the Dead Prez, and he said, "The God we trust is on a dollar." That's the one they talking about. You see what I'm saying? It's horrible, man. That's horrible. Like, just think about it. Money of all things is the root of all evil, and on a dollar bill, it says, "In God we trust." Come on. Come on, if y'all not feeling me or hearing me, there's no soul in your body. There's no soul in your body.
I mean,
like, and I can't help you. And it's I'm trying.
It's crazy. I mean, I agree. There's a ramification and repercussions because of this. Now you're right. Now you got to get them back home safely, and hope that they haven't come in contact with any other players that might be in COVID. And if they've been in any kind of contact, then they got to be quarantined, and they probably can't play in this All-Star game. This All-Star game on paper was supposed to be the safest, right? That's what Adam Silver sold you. It's going to be safer than any other game. You know, you got two guys already with COVID tracing and can't play, you know, can't play because you said it was going to be safe and this was going to be in the best interest. Like, and these guys basically didn't have a choice, right, TP? Like, they had to be there. And now look at it. So, you don't ever want to give the guys that came out and spoke against it that ammunition to say, "I told you so." But guess what? They got the ammunition to say, "I told you so." You know what I mean? Like, they shouldn't have been down there. It wasn't a smart move, TP. And we said it here too. And, you know, now Adam Silver, you gotta face the music.
Here goes the crazy part. You ready for this? Who are out? Who do you fill their spots with? There's people that got snubbed. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to hurry up and get down here to Atlanta right now. We're going to put you in an All-Star game. Hurry up. We got a spot. We got two spots. Like, what are you going to do now? You set
you
this
can't
up.
Do
and,
that.
And then here goes the funny part. There's no Atlanta Hawk. There was supposed to be Trae Young because Trae Young was having a good season. You snubbed him. So what are you going to do? You're going to tell Trae, come down, go come downtown. Hurry up. Put your jersey on. We got you. Don't worry. What are you going to do?
You can't do that, TP. You because you don't know. From the last game, most of them are on Thursday, till now, what they've been doing, who they've been in contact with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can't bring them here now. You know what I'm saying? Like, because now you're opening up whoever they've been with and whoever, you know, they've been around in contact with that you haven't, you know, contact traced, you haven't tested. You can't, you know what I mean? You can't bring them here now. So now you just lost out on two guys. And you lost that on two spots, and it's unfortunate. Hopefully they, quote-unquote, give somebody an honor. Like, maybe you say Trae Young or Alexander from from Oklahoma City or DeAndre Fox or whoever, hey, you get an all-star nod, but you can't play in the game or something like that, which I think would be pointless. But you can't bring anybody. You can't even bring Trae Young, who's in town, if he's in town, to come into this game because you don't know who he's with. You don't know who he's been around. So you can't open up that kind of Pandora's box and let people get infected just because you want to fill a spot. So it's just a bad situation. It's just unnecessary.
It's frustrating because it's like people tried to warn him. You had the likes of LeBron speak up, De'Aaron Fox, and all type of media members about not doing it, and you guys went against the grain, and Adam Silver being a part of, you know, the plan of the owners, this is something that we must do. Really? So you're jeopardizing the MVP's life, which could potentially hurt him. You don't know what his health is like inside his body. You know what I'm saying? And then you got Ben Simmons, who's on Philadelphia, who's leading that conference right now. Both of them are going to be out for, let's just say, the duration of the week, because I think everybody gets back to work on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. That's how it usually is. Thursday or Friday is when they start playing the games again. So they'll probably miss a couple of games. And here goes the icing on the cake. Brooklyn is right behind them by half a game. They can't lose ground. They're sitting there. Brooklyn is right there. They're neck and neck. Brooklyn is waiting for them to lose a game. And outside of Embiid and Simmons, I can see that them struggling to score points. They need points on the board. What? What? You just messed your product up. Being greedy. This is like, right. This is almost like the movie American Gangster when Frank Lucas was like, yo, don't wear the flashy stuff. And he goes to the Muhammad Ali fight. A big mink and a mink hat, and he's in front of mafia members and all types of powerful Caucasian people. They're like, yo, who is this dude? Like seriously? And then Ephesus, and they took that picture because his wife bought him that, and then they sent him the picture and was like, yeah, this is what got you caught out. He threw that whole mink in the fire. Burn that thing up. Burnt it up.
I remember a great part. You know, like, don't be the flashy one. You know what I mean? You know, like, oh, you like Mickey Barnes, huh?
Right.
Come on, man.
Right.
Like, It just didn't make any sense, and it's unfortunate. You know, hopefully Embiid and Simmons are all right, and, you know, nothing really bad happens to them. You don't want anything happen. But, I mean, it came out, too, that, you know, Silver was talking about, you know, most of the players in the NBA will get some form of, you know, vaccine or something like that. It can't come soon enough because – stuff like this can happen and on your watch. You know what I mean? It's still, I'm trying to tell people, listen, I don't care what Texas and everybody else did, like, to lift the mask, but it's still dangerous out here. It ain't, you know what I mean? It's not safe. You gotta practice smarts at some level. You gotta be careful and just be safe, people. Just be safe.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw a series of questions at you, right, and see how you feel about certain situations. If you had your team, if you were the GM of the Knicks, right, and this is actually what the Knicks kind of need right now, it's bad that I'm doing it. If you had to pick between Jokic or Embiid, which center would you take and why?
Oh, man. I would take Embiid because I think he's better. But if I look at the Knicks and how they play, I think – no, you know what? I think Joker might be a better fit, but when I look at it, I think because of the defensive play, I think Embiid's probably the better pick. I think, you know, he's a monster down low, obviously, and, you know – I don't see any center that can stop him. I think there was an argument that came up, like, is Embiid more skilled than Shaquille O'Neal as a center? Shaq is more dominant, but I think Embiid is more skilled, obviously. He's a better shooter, free throw shooter, et cetera. But, I think, you know, defensively, I think Embiid is not bad. I think he can probably get – I think Tibbs could probably get more defensively out of him. I think he would probably be a better fit, a down low presence with guys hanging out on the wing. So, I love Joker. I think, you know, we said it before. You look at him, you don't think he's, you know, this guy, I can handle him. And you look up, he dropped 20 points, got 10 rebounds, and probably like 15 assists on you. You're like, what happened? You know, how did we get here? You know, he's that good. So, but I think Embiid would be a better fit.
And how do you just clear cut say that he's better than Jokic? I mean, yes, I give you the edge defensively. I don't think Jokic is a great defender. That's why I would give you the edge there. But offensively, like, this dude is a triple-double magnet right now. Like, he has just the same amount of triple-doubles as Wilt Chamberlain, and he's, what, 25, 26 years old. So we're going to at least see, like, four or five more years of this right now. I don't know. That's interesting. Okay, the next question I have, right? If Brooklyn gets to the finals and wins the finals, right, who gets the MVP, KD or Harden?
I have no idea. I mean, I'd have to see who played who did what. I mean, right now, the MVP of that team, right, as it stands right now, is Harden. Just because, I mean, the guy is – he's won an MVP. He's led – the team to the conference finals one game from beating a really good Golden State team. I could argue he's playing his best basketball right now for Brooklyn just because they need him to do a lot of different things, and he stepped up to the challenge, and he's done everything. You need a facilitator. You need somebody to run the offense, score some points, get a big bucket down the stretch. Just be accountable. Just be on the court because, you know, the fact that Kyrie plays when he wants to play is ridiculous. But, you know, you don't get that from Harden. Harden's on the court. Harden plays, and he plays hard. His defense is kind of underrated. I will never say he's on the level of LeBron or Ben Simmons on the wing on the perimeter. But he's, you know, he gives the effort, and he's playing some better defense than he's played in his past. Out of the big three, when they're all been on, you know, on the same team, he's the guy that's been constant. He's been there, and he's made other guys around him better. I think right now, where would the Nets be if they didn't get Harden? Like, you know what I mean? Like, where would they be as a team right now?
Right. That, man, that says a lot. And the reason why I asked that question with KD or Harden, because it's like Harden is the mixing spoon where the defense has got to gauge him. They got to slow him down before he gets to the rim. And if he's getting to the paint, he's going to either draw a foul or leave an alley-oop up there or score himself. You know what I'm saying? So that's what makes him dangerous. But if he's collapsing the paint and doing it and keeping his floor spread, KD gets, you know, practice jump shots in the middle of games. So if KD's coming up with, like, 28 points or better a night, it's like who do I look at? Is it more the mixing spoon of Harden, or is it more of the deadly hammer of Kevin Durant's accuracy and shooting and being efficient? So that's why I threw that out there, because I know Kyrie is going to be a definite staple that they're going to have to deal with regardless. But I don't think that Kyrie's efforts are looked at as MVP. I think he's more or less going to be, you know, one of the guns that you're going to have to deal with these guys full guns blazing it. And Kyrie's actually bought into it and letting Harden run the show. And he could be the two off the ball and just tire defenses too. It's going to be incredible if they really get Blake in there and he could fit the system. I think Brooklyn is in putting everybody in danger right now. The whole league is in danger.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, with the way that Harden's playing, I think he's put himself into the MVP conversation. I don't know if he leapfrogs anybody, but it'd be hard to leave him out because of how well he's playing. And it bothers me that Kyrie Irving is just not accountable half the time. Like, you know, like, so there's no, like the other day, I get, who were they playing? I think, was it the Mavericks or somebody? Like, where were you?
And Kyrie sat out.
Come on, man. Like, Durant isn't able to play physically right now. He's hurt. You know, you're not hurt. Where are you? You know, leaving Harden out to dry, that's messed up. But you know what? Harden didn't care. He met the challenge, and he's been playing some really good basketball. I got to give Brooklyn a lot of credit for where they were when the trade went down and how bad the defense was. Like, we all were talking, Big Easy, Simmons, everybody, we were all talking about how bad that defense. They've gotten better. they've improved. I got to give them a little bit of credit. They're not going to be like a great defense like Tibbs has in New York on the other side of the bridge, but they are playing better defense. They're just, you know, trusting each other, figuring it out. This is a team by the end of the year into the playoffs, I think we're going to be in trouble if you're trying to play them in a 7-game series. They figured it out, and Blake can do nothing but help them get over that hump. So shout out to the Nets. They're doing some good stuff.
Yeah, you know, ain't nobody going to talk about that defensive stuff no more if they're putting up the points like this. And if Blake can add to this and put up 10 to 12 points and they're scoring 90, that's 100 out of four players. That's 100, man. It'd be crazy. And this is just logically thinking, like, if everybody's hitting on all cylinders game by game, yeah, okay, good luck. Try to figure it out. Okay, so we have a few minutes left. I know there's a couple of stories that I wanted to talk Eastern Conference-wise with the Pacers falling, and I think that they will be out of the playoff picture. I really feel like that. Unless they can get LeVert or Warren back, I think they are one of the ones that's going to continually spiral downward. I think that the Wizards may end up jumping into this thing and ended up a 9 or 10th seed as they're starting to find their consistency and how Beal and Westbrook have been able to work together. So this is very interesting to see how this can work out in the Eastern Conference. But another question that I wanted to throw to you is, if you had to pick in the Western Conference outside of the Lakers, which it looks like it could potentially be a problem for them to get back to the NBA Finals, who do you pick to get to the Western Conference Finals?
I mean, with the Pacers, I agree with you. They're falling apart. I just, you know, they're in a lot of trouble. I think they've lost 5 out of their last 6. They're not looking good. I think they're going to be outside looking in. I think you're right. I think the Wizards can probably leapfrog them. If they don't get Brogdon back, and Turner doesn't get his act together, they're in trouble. In the West, okay. Don't give me crap for this. I think out of all the teams, when I look at the finals, all the teams that could pop, not beat the Lakers, but get there, the Phoenix Suns. I honestly think the Phoenix Suns are a dangerous team that can get to the finals. The veteran leadership that Chris Paul has brought, the fact that in the bubble, they were 8-0. They rode that momentum. They got, you know, they got one of the best shooters, in Book, Devin Booker. I think the Suns can make some hay, and I think they can reach the final. Now, do I think they will? I doubt it. I think the Clippers, if they get a point guard, they'll figure it out. The Lakers will get healthy, and they'll be the juggernaut again. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Phoenix Suns, who sit at the 2 seed right now, make some really big noise in the playoffs.
I'm looking more at this as team basketball. The strongest team, especially with a Shaquille O'Neal stamp and a LeBron James smack in the face, I'm in this while they play against the Utah Jazz. My 112, CD Blaz. I was.
I came last. Roll the grass.
Okay. So and he giggles, man. I'm homegrown. You know what I'm saying? So that, I mean,
I was just listening to that. You, love it, man. Yes.
I got a story to tell. So chrome for situation. So here's what the crazy part about this week. They got a full team, top to bottom, 1 through 5. Mike Conley just got invited to the All-Star game for the play that he's been able to do outside of what Spider and Gobert have been doing. And just like I said earlier this season, Shaq was like, I don't believe in y'all until y'all could get to the finals. You know what I'm saying? And Shaq putting that energy-packed battery in the back of Donovan Mitchell and the team. The team responded. And then LeBron says, when you play 2K, nobody picks Utah, so we're going to pick Utah last. You and Kevin Durant did that? So it's like, okay, so you giving them – right, that is disrespectful. And like, I know he probably did it to be funny, but it's like, dog, you know you forgot about Gobert and Donovan Mitchell being there, and to be humor, you say that. You're not going to sit up here and disrespect Donovan Mitchell because this guy is having a good season. You're not going to disrespect Gobert, and Gobert is one of the better defensive players in the league. I could care less if Jokic tore him up and had two different good games against him. Like, that's one of the bigs that are great in this league comparison to the other 30 or 29 that you're going to be concerned with. So, like, disrespect at its highest level. I feel like Utah has got more bulletin board than ever, material than ever, because of how the league looks at them. I really put a lot of this pressure on Quinn Snyder. If Quinn Snyder can continue to guide these guys to be atop the league, not just the Western Conference, but to be on top of the league, and they're on a losing streak, so they got to get out of that. They lost their last two games and still have a 2.5 lead up against the Suns, 3.5 against the Lakers. The Clippers are 4 back. Like they're ahead of these guys right now and have an inspiration of people disrespecting them. It's not even an inspiration of, like, somebody that may have, you know, been in a turbulent situation or illness or thing like that. They are doing it off of the sure beaten path of people saying we don't buy that. Like, people were just up in here Thursday. Like, I think it was Allen and Aaron, both of them, like, we don't buy that. It's like, well, everybody feels that way, then let them come out there and kind of shush the crowd. That's what I'm looking forward to, man. You talk and shut these people up that don't believe in what they've done. And they have 9 losses on the season. Nobody else has single-digit losses anymore. Everybody has double digits.
Except for the Jazz. I mean, listen, Jazz are a complete team. They're a full team. They're depth. They got a deep roster. I got to see it to believe it, too, but I like what I see. I can't front on that. I just feel like in the playoffs, Donovan is that dude, but, you know, it gets deeper. You get into the playoffs, the pressure builds, and to, you know, be that guy in the last 2 minutes to make that shot, you know, we'll see if they can do it. You know, that I know Chris Paul can do it. I've seen him do it, not to get to the finals, but, you know, I've seen him be that dude. So it'll be interesting. You know, Kawhi has done it in his career. It's a different mentality. We'll see. We'll definitely see. One question I got for you. I have never gotten your opinion on this. Gilgeous Alexander, why isn't he an all-star?
They don't respect them. They don't respect them. And I feel like he has to earn it too. I feel like the league is after him, and they more or less look at him in his fourth quarter scoring, because he'll do damage in the first, second, and third quarter. In the fourth quarter, it's like he's looking for other people to step up. And I think that's when he'll start to cross the threshold of an all-star. So I really feel like he has to get the respect of the league.
Okay. Listen, the numbers are there. Him and DeAndre Fox and DeMar DeRozan were, in my opinion, more deserving than Connelly. But Connelly's on the best team. He's having a good year. But, I mean, those three guys, you could have put them in and I wouldn't argue with you. So – but we'll see. I don't think a lot of people know about Gilgeous Alexander like they should. So that's going to take the Thunder winning some more games. But I like what I see out of him. I think he can play, man. I saw when he came in the Garden and lit up the Knicks a little bit. I was like, I just shook my head like, okay, all right. You know, like he can play.
Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show. I know you got to get rolling and me too. So I need plugs, closeouts, anything that you like to promote as we shut the doors here at the brunch.
Man, another good brunch, man. Love doing the show with you. I like it's just me and you just going back and forth. And you know, we got other heroes and villains here, but, you know, nobody does it better, the quote Snoop Dogg. But, I mean, like, yeah, shout out to all the troops, Eric, Alan, Sirius, Naj, Royce, Deshaun, come see us after today's games. You got some big games. I want to go. I got to get
Bored.
Back and watch the I'm waiting for him because he hijacked my show to talk about that basketball. So I definitely want to fix him a plate. But listen, I want to definitely, there's a big game, Memphis and Houston. I want to watch that game, and I definitely want to watch the Michigan State game. So you better come back and get us, Chris, too. Love you. Listen, get to the website. Everybody get to the website. Read the blogs. We do a lot of big work out there. You know, check out the podcast. We're on all the networks, Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify. Tune in. You can find us. We're here. Shout out to Caviar. Cav, he was listening to the show for doing our intro, you know, doing big things in Connecticut, repping us hard. Listen, we doing big things. Power 103, we're not on there today, but we're always on. So, listen, the chefs are cooking, man. We got a lot going on. So, TP, much love to you, brother. You're always holding us down, the big boss, man. You know, we out, villain.
Bro, everybody he mentioned, I know somehow, some shape or form, I got an attention, or we family one way or another. So shout out to everybody that he mentioned. I can't reiterate it because I have to press rewind on the tape and get all of the names that he did mention. But everybody he mentioned, I shook my head, nodded in agreement, like, yes. Shout out to everybody that's been helping us or putting us out there or spreading the good word and promoting us as best as possible. We are on the grind. We got the baseball show coming up. I'm in the talks of working with another network with Brad Fowler. He wants to do a draft special. So we had him here, and he's like, he wants to do more work with us. So we got that in the works as well, Sports City. We've been building up a lot of attention as best as possible, trying to do a lot of this stuff across the nation and across the world. But y'all already know how this thing go down. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, chefs. Sports City, chefs. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, chefs.
Connecticut.